IRS notices can be intimidating, but waiting to act could cost you your valuable taxpayer rights. Don't try to handle the IRS alone. These agents are trained to track you into agreements designed to collect as much money as possible. Don't pay thousands of dollars to a marketing company claiming to be a tax resolution firm. Get behind the shield. The enrolled agents at Elite A Tax and Financial Services are experts at tax resolution, protecting taxpayers' rights, and are federally licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. Elite A Tax and Financial Services has the knowledge, skill, and experience to assist you with audit representation, liens, levies, offers and compromise, innocent spouse relief, wage garnishment, back taxes, and more. Don't lose sleep, time, or your rights as a taxpayer. Make your appointment today at elite8financial.com to schedule a consultation and get the IRS off your back. Get behind the shield.
Hey, 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 welcome back to this week's episode of Entrepreneurship Happens. I'm your host, T. Marlene, and this week's episode, Castor Troy and I speak with Sandra Namato. She is a vegan marketer and author, so she has a lot to share about that industry and her journey. Stay tuned. Bye.
In today's economy, many are sitting with heavy questions about their careers, finances, and work-life balance. Maybe you're wondering if working two jobs is worth your valuable time and energy, or how to be more available to yourself and your family, or if now is the right time to make that career transition, career advancement, or jump into entrepreneurship. Hi, my name is Tara Haislip. I'm the CEO of Grounded Energy 111, international best-selling author, and spiritual career mentor. I help entrepreneur women and corporate career women create soul-aligned careers around their lifestyles. If you are or have been feeling like you want to do more with your career by making that change, advancement, or start your own business, I invite you to my free monthly workshop, the Be a Boss Workshop, where you'll meet other women going through similar career transitions and experience an interactive group coaching workshop. For more information, follow me on Instagram at grounded_energy111. Join the Grounded community through my link tree and my Instagram bio. Check things out on my website at www.groundedenergy111.com or email me at tara@groundedenergy111.com. And I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Do our listeners a favor and tell us who you are and what do you do?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me on. First of all, I'm Sandra Namato. I operate as the content doctor. So mostly I help cruelty-free businesses with a number of services, marketing related, but mostly I help them with their written content. And this is my second business that I launched in early 2020. And prior to that, I spent over a decade running a public relations agency. So most of my career has been in communications. And then I live in Vancouver, Canada, on the West Coast.
Awesome. That's great. Glad to have you on.
Definitely. So, Sandra, why did you become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so my first job right out of university was at a local public relations firm. That's where I learned a lot about what public relations is and how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't want to stick with that company because a lot of what we did there was event planning. So we would plan a lot of events, many for the film industry in town. And that was what interested me in that company in the first place. So we would put on these events, we would invite media, and then the day after the event or a couple of days after, you would see the story come out, and then our clients were happy. And the whole process of media relations just fascinated me. But I knew I didn't want to be an event planner for the rest of my life. It can be a very stressful position. And so when I was, I knew I wanted to leave that company and sort of move on to the next thing. My sister was an entrepreneur before I was. So she had sort of a similar journey where she started at a small business as an administrative assistant and worked her way up to as a partner of the small business. And then they eventually sold it. So I saw her being her own boss for a good while. And so I thought, maybe I can do that too. So after quitting my first job, I thought, yeah, let's try out being a publicist, an independent publicist. And then that business just ended up growing over a number of years. I added, you know, started working with interns and then brought a coordinator and eventually a director onto my team. Still a very small business, but yeah, I think that was that initial spark. I thought about applying at other public relations firms, and just something about my intuition, you know, told me like, you don't really have control over who you get to work with in terms of the clients. Mm. And clients can be some real a-holes sometimes. So, so just that idea of being able to choose my clients, mm-hmm. running my own business, that was really intriguing. And so that's how I started.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So you mentioned being able to control those things. So out of everything, what is the one thing that you love the most being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I would say being able to set your own hours. I mean, generally, I work 9 to 5 weekdays anyway, but yeah, when you run your own business, not only do you get to choose your clients, you can choose your hours. Yeah, go on vacations when you need to. Of course, you need to make sure, you know, all your clients are satisfied and they know when you're taking a break. But yeah, just that flexibility and that freedom. And I know a lot of your guests have said that as well. And that's, yeah, that trumps all of the other stuff that goes along with with being an entrepreneur, right. I think.
Right. Yeah. So what have you found most challenging about being an entrepreneur?
I think that definitely the peaks and the valleys and that inconsistency, because yeah, when you're running your own business, you're responsible for bringing in your own income. And so you're not going to necessarily have that steady paycheck. At least I didn't in the beginning, and I'm still new in this business. I'm in year 4 in this business, and I'm still trying to get that consistency. And so, yeah, I would say, yeah, just business development, you almost always have to be on. I don't mean that to say like you have to work 24 hours a day, but always kind of have to have your eyes and ears open, because you just never know who you might come across on the street, who maybe a potential client, or you know, you're always thinking about how you can improve your business even on the weekends when you're hanging out with family. Mm-hmm. So there's sometimes no off switch, right? But yeah, right. I think you really have to learn to manage your time and make sure that you're not burning out, because yeah, managing mental and emotional health is really important as an entrepreneur, so that you can weather those hard times. Yeah. And I feel like economically we're going through a lot of, hard times right now, just coming out of the pandemic. And so, yeah. And so this is one of those times where you really gotta, watch your budget, you know, making sure you're not overspending, mm-hmm. and of course always, yeah, trying to increase your revenue. So yeah, I would say that ups and downs.
I agree with that. So how has entrepreneurship impacted your actual relationships with your family and friends? Has it made it smaller? Has it grown? Any positives or negatives over your journey?
Yeah, in terms of my relationships, I would say not too much. I remember in the early days of running my first business in public relations where, yeah, I didn't really turn off. I had my email inbox open like, you know, all evening. And, mm-hmm. and then, I would Skype with my boyfriend at the time. He's now my husband, but I remember, yeah, just saying, oh yeah, I still have my email on. And he's like, why, you know, like why you shut that down at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And I'm talking to him in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it didn't even occur to me that I should shut off, just like everyone with a 9 to 5 does. So, that really kind of helped me reframe that. Yeah. Just to have that time management and work-life balance. Yeah. And then in terms like, yeah, having a sister who's been a successful entrepreneur has really helped. She's a great sounding board for when I have, issues or just want to bounce an idea off somebody else. My friends have been really supportive, even though they're not, you know, necessarily clients or, a huge source of clients. However, though, another, set of clients that I cater to now are authors. And so in addition to serving cruelty-free businesses during the pandemic, I started taking courses in editing and book formatting. And so now I have this suite of services that I offer to authors. And one of my big goals for 2023 is to ghostwrite a book, because I really want to get, yeah, like be known as a ghostwriter, a book ghostwriter. And so coincidentally, one of my best friends wants to publish a memoir maybe in 2024. And so we've been working on ghostwriting his memoir, hopping on Zoom, recording him telling his story. And I think we're past halfway now, or maybe about two thirds of the way through. And I'm really enjoying that process. So yeah. And actually, that's the same friend that I did my first free pro bono publicity campaign for, because he's an artist. And so when he did his first art exhibition, he asked me to do the publicity for it, and that was my first test client. And now I'm ghostwriting his book, so it's kind of nice. Many years later, that we're still working together, I suppose, in different capacities.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because a lot of times we hear the horror stories, you know, of how people ended up, their circle got smaller, or they had to deal with a lot of naysayers and stuff. So it's good to hear the positives of that. I love that.
Yeah, it's really important to have a strong support network around you, I think, you know, whether it's your family or friends or outside of that, you know, where you network. I think that's super important too, because I can definitely feel alone as an entrepreneur, especially if you're a solopreneur like I am right now. And so, yeah, support systems are definitely important.
Okay. So you mentioned a lot of your different experiences and stuff. Like, what's one thing that you know now you wish you knew when you started your journey?
There are many, many ways to do things. I feel like I'm learning that now, because I'm a service-based business, right? And so you can either have a few high ticket clients, and this is something that I'm still learning now that I did not know about then. You can either have a few high ticket clients, or you can have many low paying clients. And I'm trying to figure out right now what my ideal model is. I've launched a course before. It was not too successful. I'm thinking about doing it again, but I'm not feeling the strong pull towards that model, because it can be a lot of work to put out a product. And if you can't sell that many at a low ticket price, then you're a little hoop there. These are things that I've just learned from other people in doing it differently over the years, that did not ever occur to me in my first business. I always thought, okay, you know, I need a certain number of clients. They're each paying, you know, roughly this amount, and that's it. Like, but there are so many ways to structure your business and your business model. That's one big thing. And then the second I would say is ask for help, because, it's really hard to do it alone. And again, like it's hard to get that creativity and those new ideas if you're not seeking them out or asking for help. And just like I've said, just having people around you that you can talk to about your business and bounce ideas off of, that I found that's really important. And I've done that, you know, oftentimes too late than I should have asked for help much earlier.
And we do that, though. We think that we have to do all the things when we don't have to do all the things. You know, we really do need to. And for a lot of us, it's hard for us to ask for help, you know, or you got to figure out what exactly do you need help for. So you need to take a step back sometimes to do that as well. And one thing you mentioned with the clients is that you do, as you go along, you do kind of figure out more so of what you want to do. I know with my design business, I did that at one point in time. I took on a lot of low paying clients, and that's not to slight them at all, but because some of them are still my long term clients. But I found that what really gave me most joy was actually taking someone from beginning to end. So in order to offer that as a brand specialist, I have to actually raise my price. And so now I have fewer clients, but they're higher paying clients, and I can do that whole transition instead of doing a flyer here and a logo there and this, you know what I'm saying, these little bits, pieces. Yeah. So that is something that experience has taught me. So definitely I understand that.
Right.
So what's the worst thing that's happened to you on your journey that you had to actually bounce back from and learn from?
Yeah, I remember very vividly in my second year of my first business, so my publicity business. There was a client who was working with basically they were the exclusive Canadian distributor of this particular beauty line. And the beauty line was founded by a dermatologist in Hollywood who works with a lot of celebrities. And so they were going to bring him to Vancouver and sort of, announce the product line, the new product line. And because they had potential clients in other places outside Vancouver that could not come to the event physically, they wanted me to arrange a live stream of the event. And so this is 2009. This is before we have all of the tech that we have today. And so I knew that this was not my expertise. So I outsourced the live streaming portion to an online, an online marketer. And I said, this is what they need. Can you help me? And so that she worked with them and did a bunch of test videos. They worked fine. And so the night of the event, she and I are sitting side by side. The laptop is there. It looks like it's working. And then the day after, not even the evening of the event, like when we're going home or like the day after, I get this phone call from the client saying it didn't work. The live stream did not work. Our out of province clients did not see they didn't see anything. And so, we figured out that the internet probably cut out at some point during that event, but nobody had notified us at the time that it happened. So we had no way of knowing how to fix it on the spot. And so of course the client was angry. They almost didn't want to pay the final payment, and rightfully so, because that was a big part of the event that didn't work. In the end, I said, okay, yeah, it was in my proposal that I was going to do this, even though I hired somebody else and for whatever reason it failed. It is in my proposal, and so we sort of came to an agreement that they would pay half of that final payment instead of the full payment. So it wasn't a complete disaster, but huge learning lessons from that in terms of, yeah, if there's a service that I can't provide, instead of putting it in my proposal, it's probably best that I refer that client to somebody who can help them. And then that way it's out of my hands. We have it's so interesting. Now we have the technology to do that with smartphones. We don't even need laptops. That was an interesting one for sure.
Right. And that is, you brought a very good point though, because a lot of times we do a lot of outsourcing, but, and I know I'm very cognizant of that because I'm responsible for whoever I outsource it to. Like, I'm the key person that everybody's going to blame, everybody's going to come to. Yep. So I strategically choose who I want to. Like you said, either you want to control it or you want to outsource it and let them say, hey, here's my referrals. This is who I work with. They're really good or whatever. So that is something that you have to figure out how you want to handle it. Because I do know some designers where they actually, on the behind the scenes, they don't have employees that handle this and that. They actually outsource it themselves. But for me, I'm a control freak. Since I can't control the outcome, I'd rather just refer, you know what I'm saying? But that is something you have to think about. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and it may work for some people. I know agencies. So agencies hire me as a contractor when they need a copywriter, right? And so, and if you do good work, then you won't have a problem. But at the time, you know, I was a solopreneur, and that was something that I took on when I probably shouldn't have. And now I have a huge network of people that I'm happy to refer to. So those are just some of the things you need to learn when you go through them, I guess.
Absolutely.
So on the flip side, what's one of the best things that's happened to you during your journey?
Wow. I guess I'll name the past year. So last year I published my second book called Vegan Marketing Success Stories. So it's the world's first vegan marketing book. And and just to explain a little bit what it's about. So it's just like any other marketing book that you might pick up, but all of the businesses in that contributed stories or that I use as examples are vegan businesses. So no use of animal or animal exploitation at all. And so it's sort of the first book of its kind and this only the second book about vegan businesses in the world. It's this industry is still growing and very new. So, so as a result of publishing this book, I've been, you know, invited on a number of vegan podcasts and even just general and business podcasts like the one we're on right now. And that's been really cool just to kind of like, get my profile out there a bit in the vegan world. And also I was invited by one of our local TV stations, Global BC, in January. So January is known as Veganuary. So Veganuary is a campaign that challenges people to try going vegan or eating vegan for a month, for the month of January. And so they invited me on because they, you know, they saw a news release about my book and said, hey, do you want to come on the show and explain to us what Veganuary is and how people can move toward a more vegan lifestyle. And so that was, only a 4-minute TV segment, but gets how many viewers that it gets. And definitely. And then of course I was able to share it afterwards with the folks not able to watch live. That's been kind of cool to, because as a publicist, usually I am the one, I was the one getting clients on TV and interviews and the one coaching them on how to do an interview. And now definitely. I'm the one kind of in front of the camera, not where I usually am, but that's been pretty cool.
That's good. Actually, you mentioned with it being vegan and it's a growing industry. That's really important because at first you're like, okay, why do you have to have a book specializing in vegan stuff? But there's certain nuances to it that people need to know, you know, in order to work for it. For example, for me, to kind of help my listeners understand, for me, what we talk about a lot of times in our Black business groups is that when we say that we're a fully Black business, that's not necessarily true. So for example, selling t-shirts, well, the t-shirt manufacturer might not be a Black-owned manufacturer, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The person doing the manufacturing. So if you want to be like a fully run from beginning to end, you have to do your research and everything like that. And so I feel the same way with veganism. You want to make sure that who you're outsourcing to, who's doing your manufacturing, everybody in the chain to get that final product actually has your same core beliefs and everything as well. So definitely, I think that's a very good thing to start bringing that out so people can, you know, because it's like, you get kind of frustrated because it's like, okay, well, this is the end. Like, we can't go any further because there's nobody out there doing this that's vegan or for me on the other side, black, you know? So I think that's very good that you're actually, you know, putting material out there so that vegans know that, hey, if you want to continue the chain throughout, there are resources out there. So I love that.
Thank you. And it's interestingly, so the year I closed my PR business, 2018, was the year that I went vegan, which was an 11-year journey for me. It took me a while to get there. And I started out just on my personal blog, you know, talking about, I was sharing vegan recipes and just talking about my journey. And then those personal values have now been able to intersect really well with my business, because vegan businesses are who I work with now. They don't need to be vegan owned. So I do want to clarify that because vegans are still such a small portion of the population. So if you only limit your business to working with only vegans, you know, you're really limiting yourself there. No. So as long as the business, doesn't exploit animals, people, the environment to a certain extent. And as I said, this is only the second book about the vegan industry in the world. And so there's huge opportunities to grow. For anybody listening who maybe is running a vegan business and you've got a great story to tell, we could use more books on the topic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's great to know. So what's one of the craziest things that happened to you besides the streaming going out? What's one of the craziest things happened to you? Any crazy clients or employees or anything like that?
I wouldn't call them crazy, but yeah, I mean, I've been very lucky. Most of the clients that I've worked with have been great. Mm-hmm. I do remember there was one, a few years into my publicity business, I was working with a big food event here in Vancouver. And then they sold their company to a company in Toronto. So new owners, mm-hmm. The first year that I worked with them, it was great. And then interestingly, they, went with a different PR company. And I guess they didn't get results that were as great because they came back to me a year later and said, we want to work with you again. So I said, all right, like, let's go. And this was the year. So with my PR business, originally I was going by Middle Child Marketing. And then I rebranded in 2012 to Conscious PR because I wanted to attract more clients that were socially and environmentally responsible. And I was really successful in attracting more of those clients. And so this was a company that, yeah, was sort of, they started out when I was running Middle Child Marketing. They sold the event business and then new owners. And then, you know, they came back to me, you know, a couple of years later. So yeah, this was a client where I did have to ask them. I'm like, what are you doing that's kind of socially or environmentally responsible? Because this is my type of clientele now. And they said, well, you know, we donate a portion of our event ticket sales to the Vancouver Food Bank. So I said, okay, great. That qualifies. You're giving back in some way. But at the event, so they had sort of a pre-reception that was for media only. And then the main event where, you know, the public bought tickets and then they joined in. And so it was not a great turnout for the media reception. I don't know. It's a long time ago now, but let's just say half of the people who we thought were going to show up showed up. And and then the media started trickling in later on as the bigger event, you know, was underway. And so my client, you know, told me, I was sitting at the reception table and he's like, you know, this first event was a failure. And I was, and he's like, the media are not supposed to be allowed into this event unless they came to the pre-reception. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? Am I going to turn them away? Or are we going to let them in and do their job? and he said, okay, well, fine. Yeah, you got to let them in. Cause otherwise I'm being a bouncer at this point and being like, oh, sorry, you didn't show up to the first part. So you're not allowed in. Like, it's something that just we didn't discuss beforehand, the chance of that happening. Right. And and it just was a little humiliating. I was sitting beside my intern with me and my client just straight up called me a failure at the event. And and my intern was like, you're doing a great job, Sandra. Don't worry. So yeah, just not a great moment. But that was a lesson that told me, even though people say something to you like, oh yeah, we're giving back, that doesn't necessarily mean that as a person, they share your values. And so, and so that coincidentally, that was the last year that I worked with this particular client and they're actually no longer running because I guess, you know, the pandemic really hit the event industry quite hard. But that was a client that in the end, I just didn't jam with.
Right. Wow.
Hey, speaking on jamming, what's on your playlist right now?
In terms of clients?
Music.
No, music playlist. We throw oddball questions out there.
Yeah. I listen to more podcasts now than I do music. That's really sad to say, but I would like my permanent playlist. Okay. Like if I'm not listening to the podcast, I just put like my main playlist that has like 600 songs in it. I would say is mostly old school hip hop and R&B. Okay. But there's pop in there. There's some alternative rock from the 90s and 2000s in there. It can get pretty eclectic, but yeah, but mostly I listen to old school hip hop and R&B because that's what I grew up with.
Cool.
Oh gosh, that's another hard question. Been a huge it's like like you're picking your favorite child, right? Janet Jackson, like I've loved since I was a kid. But yeah, I mean, Alicia Keys, I love because I play a bit of the piano. Justin Timberlake. Those are the, yeah, I would say those are the ones that come to mind. Mm-hmm. Missy Elliott, I love her. Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, okay. That's the range.
He's speaking his language.
Yeah, that's the range. That's too funny.
Well, what makes an entrepreneur successful to you? And do you consider yourself successful at this point?
Oh, what a great question. I would say I've been successful in my business, but this is proving to be a tough year. I'll tell you that. I lost a lot of my ongoing clients last year, just hard economic times, and I'm trying to bounce back from that now. What was your first question again? What makes
an entrepreneur successful? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to pull from all my lessons in the many years I think, number one, like being creative and having an open mind and knowing that there is never one way to do things. Because when times are tough, you need to pivot and change and just come up with newer and better ways to do things. And asking for help and knowing that you don't do it alone. Like I said before, even if you're a solopreneur, that doesn't mean that you do everything yourself and you have to know everything. Seek out mentors, coaches, networking groups, peer groups, masterminds. There's so many other people going through the same thing. And so, just by sharing challenges and sharing stories of how you've overcome them, I think, yeah, really helps you in business. And so that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I love it. Cool. And do you consider yourself successful right now?
Right now, it doesn't feel like it, but I know that I've been successful in the past in my first business. I would say from 2020 to 2022, like those were my first 3 years were really solid. And I'm just going through a rough patch right now. And so it's just a matter of figuring out what will work and how I'll get out of this. And I'm sure, I can be
successful. We'll be back on top. Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. So you mentioned getting through and dealing with different things. How do you manage feelings of self-doubt or imposter syndrome?
Yeah, great question. Just because I've been doing this since 2008 and just a lot of time has passed, that tells me, hey, I was I've been self-employed for this long. And so, that gives me some confidence that I've learned some lessons. Can you repeat what you asked again?
Like, how do you, like, when you're going through, like you're having a moment right now, right? You say you're kind of in like a season of transition. How do you deal with that self-doubt? How do you convince yourself to stay motivated and continue to be consistent and show up every day?
Yeah. So I think of both internal and external resources. So internally, I really I feel like I have some solid wellness practices. So meditation is what I do twice a day. So not non-negotiable, like before breakfast, before dinner. I rarely miss, and I've been doing this for almost 10 years. So meditation has been huge for me. Exercising, clean eating, being vegan really helps with that. Taking care of my physical health, as well as my mental and emotional health. And then I have, of course, have a number of other resources that I turn to when it gets really bad. And then external resources. This is why I listen to a lot of podcasts, because there's so many podcasts like yours that, that share people's journeys and you're not alone. This person's going through the same thing that I am, or I did before. So, learning from other people's journeys, I think, is huge. Networking. And so I'm in a number of different vegan networks. So folks who are vegans and also running businesses. So that's been really great. And I also co-host, Canada's only vegan networking group, Veg Networking Canada. So there's a group of us across Canada that meet on a weekly basis. And again, just Yeah, reminding yourself that you're not alone and that other people have gone through this journey. Because no business is perfect. No business owner is perfect. And so, just knowing that, helps get through those times.
I love that. So how important is it that your spouse or significant other supports you? Do you feel like they have to be an entrepreneur themselves? What's your take on that?
No, I don't think they have to. My husband luckily has the steady job in our household. So he's really helped with, making sure we can pay our bills on and everything. And interestingly, so he's from when I've dated him, he's my husband now, but he's seen me through this entire journey. And I try not to throw in, what's going on in my business in the dinner table, because I do believe that, for entrepreneurs, even though it's hard for us to turn off, we don't ever want to make our business problems the problems of our spouse as well. That's not part of the marriage. He didn't sign up for that when he made our vows. So, but for sure, it's important to have a supportive spouse. And like I said before, I think it really helps that he has a steady job and he's not going through the same peaks and valleys, because it can be difficult if we're both going through rough patches. Then it's hard to, just maintain your livelihood financially. So it's, I feel very fortunate to have him and where he is.
I like that.
So what's next for you? Possibly a vegan cookbook? what we got coming down the pipeline?
I've thought about a cookbook. There's so many vegan cookbooks out there already that are fantastic. And certainly a number of my family members have asked, oh, did you publish a cookbook last year? And I'm like, no, sorry, it's a business book. And I've been asked, if I'm going to publish another book. I do have an idea for one. I think it might work better as a documentary and then a book afterwards. Okay. So we'll see. You need a lot more money to produce a documentary, right? This year I think is going to be a bit of a transition year. So in the first 3 years, I've been operating as the content doctor, because I started out providing content writing services to businesses. And I've since sort of grown that service roster, again, to include authors, and I've brought in some services from my public relations days. So now I'm offering media list creation for folks who don't have a media list and they want to get themselves out there in the news and on podcasts, et cetera. So I feel like I'm outgrowing the content doctor a little, I think I might drop that title, not right away, but maybe by the end of the year, and just see how it goes operating, with just my name. I feel like this is a transition year and I'm figuring a lot of things out. That's what's going on right now.
Have you, with being in the, you work somewhat in the entertainment industry at one point in time, have you thought to reaching out to more celebrity clients to help elevate or pursue more of the vegan, like you said, maybe the vegan cookbook, maybe, because there's so many celebrities out there now that are vegans. Anything like that? Any thoughts on using that avenue?
Yes, I have started, I do have a list of vegan celebrities, and this is a project I kind of started and then I've left on the back burner. But I do want to reach out to the ones who haven't yet published a book. Many of them have. Reaching out to the ones who haven't published a book and saying, hey, have you thought about writing a memoir or something? And do you need a ghostwriter for it? Because again, once I get more of my feet wet with book ghostwriting, that'll be something that I want to do more pitching to other vegans. I do have a vegan celebrity list. It's sitting somewhere on my Google Drive. I haven't touched it yet, but that's a project that I definitely want to tackle at some point in the future.
Awesome. Well, that's you bring up a point there, because as entrepreneurs, our mind, like you said, we don't have a switch. So our mind is always going. So you do have to figure out that some of the ideas that come to you, that doesn't mean that you have to act on it right then and there. Some of them, it's there as a future thing, whereas along the way you can keep adding to it, but that doesn't mean you have to drop everything and jump on that thought, that idea. So I'm glad that you said, like, you have the materials, it's getting there, but yeah, that's on the back burner for right now. So I love that you said that.
Yeah. And I keep a list on my smartphone, like in my notes, of just all these things, like little projects that I want to get to. And luckily in the last, early 2023, I've been able to knock a few things off that list, but that is what it is being an entrepreneur. It's just having all these ideas and then, put them down somewhere and then figure out what is the one that, you know, is most important, that's going to bring you revenue right now versus others that are, you know, more down the road, maybe not a good time for them right now. So yeah, super agree with you right there.
And also, paying attention to the one that keeps coming up. There's this one that every time you, like 5 years later, it's the same thing, that it keeps coming up. You might want to pay attention to that too sometimes. So yeah, totally. So how important is having a mentor and a coach to you for your journey?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I've been in the position now where I've mentored a few young women, and been able to give back in that way. And that's been fantastic. But yeah, I did partake in a few formal mentorship programs, both early in my business when I was starting out, and then once I rebranded to Conscious PR and I really wanted to network more in that area, I sought out a specific mentor specifically for that. I don't have a mentor or coach that I'm working with right now, cause I think I'm still figuring it out. But yeah, I think it can be super useful and important, especially at those key points in your, either in your business or your career, where you're not sure and you just need that external help. Definitely seek those out. And yeah, there's plenty of ways to do that. So yeah.
So you have like really illustrated and dropped a lot of good stuff for us. But I have a final two-part question. The first part is for somebody, and this is for all of our listeners, for somebody who would like to transition, what as far as from your expertise, what would be the best way to transition into like plant-based or vegan diet or whatever? That's the first part.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would say, you have to cut out meat, seafood, dairy at some point. Those are the three like big things to become vegan, right? Vegetarians, they'll do seafood, meat. But then they're okay with dairy and eggs. And luckily we're in a point in time right now where we've got really great, tasty plant-based alternatives to those products. So maybe not so much in the seafood department, but for sure in the meat department. So you can get burger patties, you know, faux chicken. Mm-hmm. And so I would recommend you use those products to help you transition away from those products. And then same thing with dairy. You really don't need eggs in your diet. But there are faux egg products. Same thing with cheese. I would say that's the big step. Just moving away from that, and just educating yourself as well. Like I have a long resource list on my website, that of documentaries, books, influencers that I follow, cookbooks that have really helped me on my journey. Like I said before, my journey took 11 years. It probably won't take as long for somebody else if you really wanted to do it faster. And that's just the key. It's just, making a shift in moving away from the animal versions toward more plant alternatives. And then really what you want to do is not rely on those processed foods in the end, because they're not super healthy. So once you're in that transition period where you're able to cut out animal products, then start learning how to cook with the whole food plant sources. So, you know, tofu, beans, lentils. Mm-hmm. There's so many sources of protein. People always ask about the protein, but I guarantee mm-hmm. you can get mm-hmm. you can get all of that through plants. And so and then you'll have really, really good health outcomes on a whole food plant-based diet. Science has proven that. So that would be my tip.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey. I agree with you there. I definitely do. Yeah. Cause my mom went vegan for a bit, but we started out vegetarian. I was doing all the meals, and definitely we were lucky. There's today in 2023, there's so many options for plant-based dishes, even by the name brands, where now you can have a pasta dish that's completely plant-based, but they have a lot of processing. So we did get to the point where I was making like breakfast scrambles and everything, but I was doing it out of tofu instead of mm-hmm. buying something out of the freezer section, you know. So definitely, but that helped for meat eaters, for heavy meat eaters, it definitely helped, you know, pull her off of that thing. So yeah, I totally agree there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So many products and even if you're in an area in the major cities, they're almost all in all major grocery stores. But so if you're in an area where, you know, you're not in a major city, there are e-commerce companies that will deliver straight to your door. So yeah, Vegan Essentials is one of those. Oh, okay. Yeah. Vegan Supply is here in Vancouver, but they ship worldwide. So you can even get it from Canada if you want to. And yeah. So there's that as well.
That's really cool. And finally, what's one piece of advice that you would give a new entrepreneur?
Know that the journey is not going to be a straight line, and seek out help when you need it.
Cool.
I love it. I love it. And that's a good point. So how can our listeners catch up with you or set up something with you to get started? How can they find you?
Yeah, I'm everywhere with my name. So sandranamoto.com, and then same thing everywhere on social media.
Okay. Awesome. 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 Well, it has truly been a pleasure. Thank you so much. You touched on a lot of information. So we definitely appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And it was, yeah, wonderful to meet you both, Tamara and Castor.
Thank you.
Are you an entrepreneur or a small business owner? Or is your target audience entrepreneurs or business owners? Then we definitely have a spot for you. Become an advertiser or an actual guest on our podcast. We are still reforming, and we'd love to have you a part of our team. Send an email to info@entrepreneurshiphappens.com, and we'll get right back to you and get you all scheduled and on our list. See you then. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to check out the previous episode, which is night one of our 1 year anniversary celebration. And then tomorrow will be nights two and three. Also, check out next week's episode where we speak with Marla Green, whose business is helping RNs keep their education skills up to date. What a wonderful journey and story she has to tell. See you next time. Bye.